Amen, church. It's powerful, hey, when your prayers are moving stuff, hey, and shifting stuff in the atmosphere. And it's through your prayers that we see this physical representation of what God has already been doing spiritually in Kabega. So we continue to pray with them and we continue to stand in faith for them that God will advance His kingdom. Amen. Just such an awesome time this morning, just in fellowship with all of you. So when you see the diversity, the different facets of who God is in one room. My spiritual mentor, I once asked him about the fullness of God. And I said, so when do you arrive at this place of experiencing the fullness of God? And he said to me, after being 40 years in the ministry, he went and he prayed and he said to God, God, I want to have the experience of Moses and I want to see your fullness. I want to see your glory. And then the Lord said to him in a still small voice, go to church and in everybody you will see a piece of me. And that's the fullness of God. When we come together, when we gather together in fellowship and in unity, we start to see the different facets of who He is. Amen. So be greeted, church. I've been thinking as we're entering into the season of worship, the season of Easter. This is two times throughout the year where we're kind of like having the church pews filled. It's either Christmas or it's Easter. And we're entering now the stage of Easter and everybody is gearing up. Churches is gearing up. There's mobilization happening. And I was pondering the question, why are we running to church during those 2 days? What's happening? And the one conclusion I come to that people run to church during these 2 days is because of gifts. At Christmas, while we celebrate Christmas, is that the Father gave us the greatest gift of all, His Son, Jesus Christ. Says that God so loved the world that He gave us His Son, the greatest gifts. And when Christmas time comes, we share these gifts. We bless one another. We buy some little stuff. We go out in the streets. We buy people's gifts, which is a place of receiving. But Easter time is also a time of gifts. It's also a time where God bestows on us gifts. And it's not gifts that is wrapped up in nice purple and royal packages with a nice bow on top. It's a different types of gifts that God is giving us during the season. It's a gift with a crown of thorns. That pierced the flesh of His own Son. It's the gift of soldiers spitting on Him. Taking away His dignity, trying to rob Him from His royalty. It's a gift of an old rugged cross on the hill of Calvary, where He was placed to shame. It was a gift of 3 long nails that pierced His hands for you and me. This is the gift of the spear in His side. These are the gifts that God chose to give us during this season. He doesn't come up packaged nice. Isaiah says that in His state that He was in, nobody wanted to look at Him. He was so bruised and so beaten up. He was a bloody mess. People didn't even want to look at Him. Yet that's the greatest gift that God gave to us. Amen. Ponder on that for a moment. It's an awesome time of worship. Thank you for leading. Just tears roll down my face. Just becoming aware of the presence of God in this place. And realizing what He did to win my heart. My heart was so far turned away from God. But it was the realization what God did to win my heart. What He did to win your heart. We weren't born with this passion that we want to serve God and love God and lay our lives down before God. But somewhere in our journey, there came a place where God chasing after us, wanting to win our heart. Wanting to win the heart of a nation, a people of all different races and colors and skins to turn back to Him. For this reason He came, to win our hearts. Amen. He came to win our hearts. Don't you want to turn for me to the book of John chapter 19? John chapter 19 from verse 17 reads. It says, so they took Jesus and He went out bearing His own cross to the place called the Skull, in which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified Him and with Him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read the inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather write that this man said he is the King of the Jews. And Pilate said to them, what I've written, I've written. Aren't you so glad at what Jesus did for us? So that we don't have to pay the punishment of sin. For the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life to those that believe in it, to those that receive it. Are you so glad that a man laid down his own life for you and for me so that we don't have to go through that? Dying a criminal's death for the crimes that we have committed. And you see, the interesting part is that it wasn't forced upon him. The people thought that they forced upon him. No, He chose it. He chose the crown of thorns for you and for me. He chose the spear in His side for you and for me. He chose the mockery and the beating for you and for me. He could have said one prayer. He could have switched His fingers and it would have all been over. The angels of heaven would have come and destroyed all of mankind. But He willingly laid down His life and He chose that death for you and for me. Church, I want to tell you that the nails that they put through His hands, He chose it. It wasn't forced on Him. He chose that nails for you and for me. He chose the agony when the soldiers ripped his arms apart, stretched it out with robes, and hit spikes like this through his hands. The Roman guards wasn't in control of the death of Jesus. He was in control of laying down his own life. It's a powerful thought just to think about. This is not on the slides, but I just want to read you this scripture. John chapter 10. Read with 17 and 18. It says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. I have the authority," says Jesus, "to lay down my life, and I have the authority to take it back up again." So the death he chose for you and me. Amen. He chose to give us victory by choosing the cross. He chose to give us victory. Can you just give me the next slide? Colossians chapter 2 verse 13 to 15 says, "You who are dead in your trespasses and uncircumcised of your flesh, God made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of our debt that stood against us, its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over the cross." By choosing the nails, He chose to give you victory. He chose to give you victory over sin and over death. By choosing the nails, He chose to give you victory over your sicknesses and over your diseases. There's that one thought that came to mind, is that all of our sins are written on a page. He's sitting between the hood and the hand, nailed with an iron spike through it. The Bible says that God can't see our sins anymore because of the blood of Jesus that has blotted it out. And imagine this white page written in a black pen with all of your sins on it. And the page goes for on and on, and all the big sins that are on top couldn't be seen because God's hand is right there. The nail is between it, nailed it to the cross, and the blood is dripping down that page, and nobody can read what you have done because of the blood of Jesus that's covering your sins. He gave us total victory by choosing the nails for you and for me. There's that saying that says that all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. But all the king's horses and all the king's men were not able to crucify Jesus unless he was able to lay down his own life. Amen. I want to read Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 4 and 8. It says, and even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. I'll read that again. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. It says, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to be the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins and our trespass, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. By his blood, there is power in the blood of Jesus. Thank the Father for the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of this world. There is so much power in the blood. We sing about the songs of, oh, the blood of Jesus that takes away the sin of the world. But are we really applying the blood? Are we really contemplating the blood that was spilled out when they nailed him to a cross? When they put that spikes upon his head? The writer of Deuteronomy said that the life is in the blood. That the life of something is in the blood. And when the blood of Jesus was poured out, his life was poured out for you and for me. The blood that covers you is the life of Jesus that covers you. We love that song. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Because he loves us, there's redemption for us. Amen. He chose the nails because he chose to speak in our own language. There's that scripture in that we just read now in John chapter 19. And I think verse 17 and 18 says that, and it was written above his head in Aramaic, in Hebrew, and in Latin. And at that time, that was the three main languages in the world. Everybody was speaking it. Everybody knows it. And it was written, the King of the Jews. He chose the nails so that they can tell us who he is in our own language. Today we have the Word of God translated in almost every language. And every time there's a new group of people coming up, they're changing the language. Because he chose the cross so that he can speak in a language that we understand. A language that we understand that if you sinned, and if you've committed a crime, that you're supposed to die. And he related to us in such a fashion that he died as a criminal. The worst of the worst. This is what he chose the nails for. So that he could speak to us in our own language. He chose to be one of us by choosing the nails. It says, therefore they crucified him and with him two others on either side. He was right in the middle. He chose to become an ordinary man. John chapter 1 says, and he became, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But the funny thing is that the world didn't even recognize him. When he was right in the midst, he didn't recognize him. Sometimes we're in the presence of God and we don't recognize God. He chose the nail so that he can choose to forgive us. Luke 23 verse 34 says, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing. He chose the cross so that there can be forgiveness for us. And then he chose the cross so that we can be in his presence. The Bible says that when he hanged on the cross and the hour he came and he cried out with his last breath and he said, Father, it is finished. It is done. I've paid their price. I've won their battle. It is done. And with that words, when he cried, it is done, the Bible says that there was a massive earthquake in the earth and the temple, the curtain was torn from top to bottom and from bottom to top. And it made accessible for you and for me to go into the presence of God. We don't need a high priest. We don't need somebody to stand in the gap and pray for us. God made it accessible for you and for me to enter into his presence by choosing the nails. And I want to end up with this. That he chose the cross and he chose the nails to give us opportunity for us to choose. He gave us an opportunity for us to choose. Whether you were born again Christian, every morning that you have to stand up, you have to choose him again. I used to sing the song, when I wake up in the morning, behind iron bars, I would open my eyes and I would sing, I choose you again and again and again. You mean so much to me, dear Lord, that I want to choose you again and again and again. Jesus chose the nails to win your heart. But what are you choosing today? What are you choosing, church? Are we choosing him back? Are we loving him back? Are we laying down our lives as he laid down his for us? Are we able to go through the mocking and the persecution and the slander? Or are we hiding behind closed doors, ashamed of displaying that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God? He chose the nails to give you an opportunity today to choose. And I want to give you an opportunity to choose. I just want to ask the worship team to come up. But as we become quiet before the Lord, I want to give you this opportunity to choose. Are we choosing God again and again and again? Are we choosing God in the morning when we wake up and we lift our eyes? What are you choosing today? Can we take this moment just to stand? I'm going to throw a prayer on the screen. And if you would like to, wherever you are, you could pray that prayer for you. And that as Christ chose the nails for you, you could choose also to lay down your life for him. Amen.
As you read through those words, on Friday night, I picked up a piece of broken glass and I cut open this finger. And within seconds, there was blood everywhere. And I didn't sleep well Friday night because it was thumping the whole night long. Although we've plastered it up like multiple times, it's quite a deep cut. I was worried the whole night through that somehow the blood will come through and, you know, next morning we'll have to throw away the bedding because the blood has come from my finger. And all of Saturday I was so aware of the pain in the tip of my finger, and I'm sitting here this morning, I'm thinking, if that's just the tip of my finger, imagine everything that Jesus have felt in that moment. And if there was so much blood from just one cut, it said that he was lashed again and 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 again. I don't want one more cut on my hands because it was that uncomfortable. I can imagine with each one of those lashes, he was saying, if I could just stop it. But he chose again, and he went as far to say, put those nails through my hands. And I choose this because I'm here to speak the language of every heart. Because all of us know that at some point we make a mistake. But I'm saying I've dealt with it. So I want you to read that. And if you want to pray that, take a moment. And before we take communion, I want you to take a personal moment before we take communion together to really pray through those things. Pray it out loud. Pray it in your heart. But that's a prayer we don't just pray once. It's a prayer we pray daily. We would say, Jesus, we choose you. Because that is the reason why we are church and why church exists, is because of this message and that prayer. It's because of what he has done. So I'm going to give you one more minute to read it, to pray it, to mean it. And then we're going to move to choosing him through taking communion together as a church this morning. Jesus was about to go the way of the cross. He was with his disciples in a room, and he took some bread and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. I choose to be broken so that you could be made whole. And then he took the cup and he said, this is my blood. And then the Bible says, which is given to you for the forgiveness of your sins. Isn't that a beautiful message? So this morning, as we take the cup, we say, thank you, Jesus, that you've forgiven my sins. That you have removed it as far as the east is from the west. And thank you, Jesus, that you chose brokenness. Because you love me. You love me. But not just me, you love us. I look across this room, I can't help but think of the brokenness that even our nation have gone through. And because of Jesus, we get to do communion together as one. So here's how I want you to do communion this morning, different than what you might be used to. I want you to go and take the elements, and I want you to find someone that you might not know from one of the other churches, if you can. Introduce yourself. Take the bread and break it and share the bread together. And then look at one another and say, this is the blood of Jesus that Mario preached about that gushed out so that we can be forgiven of everything. And then have the cup. And then after that, take 2 minutes to pray for one another. Ask your brother or your sister, what can I pray for? Because his body is made whole through this picture again, through the body coming together. We are that body of Christ today. So I know this might be a different way than what you're used to, but that's the whole purpose of communion, because Jesus gave it not just to one person, but to his disciples. And say, when you get together, have a feast to remind you of just what I have done. So can we feast together for a moment this morning? We've got communion on all four corners. If we run out, we can have more, but grab a piece of bread, have one of the cups, find someone that you don't know, introduce yourself, share the communion meal together, and then pray for one another. We're going to give one another 5 to 7 minutes to do this, and then we will conclude our morning. Let's celebrate the love of Jesus. Let's choose him through this moment. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the simple message of the cross. Your word says that it is foolishness to this world, but it's the wisdom of God. And I pray, Lord, that we would be wise, because we've heard once again the simplicity of your message, the gospel message of your love, and that we would be wise in taking it to this world. Even though the world might see it as foolishness, this is your plan, this is your purpose. Thank you that we are made new, that we are alive together in Christ. That because of you and because we choose you, Father, we can celebrate, Lord, that you have chosen us even before the foundations of the world, Lord. We honor you for that today. Lord, I pray as we leave from here, may we not lose sight, Lord, of the gift and all the gifts that you've bestowed upon us through laying down your life on the cross. And may we remind ourselves that that is what we, as the people and as the church of God, is all about. Celebrating Christ, following the one who showed us the way back to the Father. And if you agree with that, would you say amen? Amen.